Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Greetings, fellow jugheads. Norm Borg back with you after my European stint, but we've got a lot of business first to get to, and it concerns a meeting that's taking place on July 24th between 1 and 3 p.m. in Milton at the County Heritage Park Niagara Room. That's located at 8560 Tremaine Road. It's sort of a state-of-the-industry meeting with none other than Elmer Buchanan and the gentleman who's on the other end of my line, Mr. John Snoble. And, John, welcome again to Trot Radio.
Hey, thanks, Norm. Great to be back with you.
It is an important meeting, John. What areas are going to be discussed?
Well, a couple of things, and I just finished talking with Elmer today, so I'm happy to report that Elmer's really been the proponent of this particular meeting. He wants a chance to get out and talk to some folks in the industry about some of the things that have been going on at ORC from a regulatory point of view, and really get some feedback on all of the, you know, all of the menu of things that are before him and the ORC in terms of changing and modifying and improving, hopefully improving the regulation of horse racing. So there'll be a chance for people to talk with directly with Elmer about those issues.
I want to talk about that for a minute because it goes to the idea of regulatory changes that'll make the sport more marketable, easier for the participants to participate in from a financial standpoint. Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, there's been quite a few issues that have been put forward in terms of reforming the way we regulate. You know, one of the more famous, I guess, of those in the last few weeks has been the HBPA's suggestion that race day medications should be banned. Of course, that affects the thoroughbred side of the equation more so than the standardbred, but there is, I think, inside of that proposal from the industry, some things that the regulator should hear about from people who are both, you know, who have some problems with that idea, and some folks who think that might be good for our industry and the way it's perceived by the public. So that's one of those issues. The other is the way the industry is regulated in terms of what I think most people would think of as rather minor infractions. Well, there isn't maybe a more efficient and effective way to deal with minor infractions that really don't affect the outcome of a race or outcome the or the impression of the industry with the public. You know, if we could deal with those kinds of issues, and I think everybody's familiar with lots of those, in a more efficient and effective way would probably help everyone. That's kind of the spectrum, controversial ideas like a ban on race day medications to the smaller but equally important issues of how we deal with minor infractions. Yeah, I think everybody wants to see, I mean, I think there's a sense of natural, what I call schoolyard justice, where you want to see things resolved rather quickly. And frankly, without, if I can use my grandfather's analogy, hitting a finishing nail with a sledgehammer. So, you know, I think common sense is what we really want to find here, and that's certainly what Elmer wants to hear from folks inside the industry who really know the issues well.
One of the questions I think a lot of people will be asking is simply this. Has Ontario horse racing done up to this point what you people in the transition panel set out for it to do?
Well, that's a really good question. The quick answer on that from my point of view is no, not yet. I think it's a work in progress, and that's kind of my part of the afternoon, is to give people two things. One is some information about the partnership plan and where the funding from the partnership plan is going and how it's going there, and really lay out the economic case. We are right now in production of a couple of videos, very short videos, we call The Business of Racing. And so it's a way of helping people get a sense of where the revenue that comes into our industry comes from and where it goes. And we'd like to produce 8, 9, 10 of these little short videos that'll look into things that are kind of specific. For instance, the parimutuel tax reduction. I think there's a lot of folks in the industry who don't really know what that is, don't know how it's currently divided and who benefits from it. And we think that taking 2 or 3 minutes in a video to really explore those issues just to make sure people are better informed is a great idea. What we'd really like to hear from people in the room is what are the kind of economic and business case issues that they'd like to see explained better so that we know that we're focusing on areas that really people care about. And so that's one side of it. The other side of it is, where do we need to go in order to get the industry self-governance? The government of the day is committed to putting the future of the industry in the industry's hands. There's a couple of options in front of us now. I think it'll be a great time to tell people what those options look like, and to get a sense of what they think is the best avenue for us to go.
You know, it's interesting you should mention that in terms of the business issues that are facing horse people these days. And I want to talk about fines and suspensions, but more specifically fines. You touched on that earlier, and infractions, things of that nature. Isn't it time we took a look at adjusting the fines, for example, to reflect what the purses are? Purses are a lot lower than what they were, and the fines have been set, and they're immovable to this point. It's becoming a bit onerous. Has there been any discussion about trying to adjust the fines so that they're reflective of the purses?
Yeah, without speaking for Elmer, which I do, which I would only do with great trepidation, that's a real focus for him. I mean, if you know Elmer well, as I do, you'll know that that's not strange to him. He understands the economics of the business, I think you put it very well. When we were in real flush times, you know, $1,000 meant something different than it does now.
Well, that's a good point, and I'm glad it's going to be addressed. Now, we've got a Liberal government that's in place and is not going away for the next 4 years. What does this mean for Ontario Horse Racing, the organization, and why is that good for Ontario's racing industry?
Well, you know, you're talking to a former PC cabinet minister, but I think it really is good news in this sense. First, the Premier has been and continues to be an advocate for a robust horse racing industry. She's been consistent on that during the first year of her term in office, and she stayed on course with that. I had a meeting with her two nights ago, and I can assure you that she is just as committed to the horse racing industry now as she was before the election. So that's good news. The second thing that's good for us is that with a majority government, there really is more stability politically in the province and for a defined period of time. So we know for the next 4 years that if we have a good idea that requires some legislative change, it can get through a functioning legislature. And, of course, that's just not the case, particularly in the last minority government. You know, there was no chance of legislation getting through there. So I think it helps us. It brings about, if you will, a more sane kind of approach to doing the public's business, at least for the next 4 years. And regardless of your political bent, that kind of stability helps the industry. And it'll help it get through some changes, both in governance and the regulatory issues. And also, Norman, this is really important, the integration or reintegration of horse racing into the gaming scenario in the province.
Let's talk about that, because there's been a lot of talk about a lottery racing type of partnership. We've heard that, but all we've heard so far, John, is talk. Premier Wynne made the announcement back last year that racing would be reintegrated with the province's gaming landscape. It's almost a year and a half ago, to be exact. How much closer are we, and where are we in terms of the development of a formal strategy and plan going forward?
Yeah, good question, and the subject of some recent meetings, and undoubtedly the subject of a lot of my week next week. So,
okay.
So it's in the forefront right now. This is critically important to the industry. We all know that for the long-term stability and the growth of the industry, we need to have a better relationship with the gaming products in the province. So part of that, as you mentioned, is a lottery-type situation, and that's being examined, has been. There's been some ideas put forward by OLG, and we're working on those. Another is something that we talked about as a panel, which was instant racing. As you know, we now have a common off-track network, and that would be a great place to introduce that product. And we're doing some work on the legalities and how that would roll out. And it's a significant potential source of revenue for the industry. But really the core funding that we're getting now is in the form of rents that OLG pays to tracks in order to host slot machines. And, of course, that's all part of a modernization strategy that OLG has to expand those gaming opportunities and expand some of it into casinos. So the question has always been, how will horse racing benefit from that expansion? And how can the long-term future of horse racing and the better funding of horse racing be married to that expansion in the gaming activities? We think there's some answers for that. The good news is, there's nothing to announce today. I know, Norm, that when the province makes this announcement, undoubtedly it'll be on this show. But those decisions haven't been made yet. But they are in front of us now, and we are working very cooperatively with OLG. I had a meeting yesterday with the chairman of OLG, Phil Olson. Very productive meeting, and we will be doing a lot of work in the next week or two to answer the question, how can we have that integration of racing and gaming build the province's revenues while it actually helps to sustain a robust horse industry. I think the answers are there. As you know, there's a lot of money in the gaming sector. It's just a question of making sure that we connect it properly.
So when will we have an announcement?
It's a bit like how long is a piece of string. There's an awful lot of people involved in this. As you know, there's federal regulations and provincial regulations and at least two agencies and a couple of ministries. But there's an urgency to this. The premier, as you said, has spoken about this many, many months ago. She encouraged us to a few days ago to make progress on the file as quickly as we can. So I think that the industry can look forward to hearing something in the next few months.
All right, then let's move on. I want to talk about the breeding industry because we're heading into a very important year, and that's yearling sale time, crucial for a large percentage of the participants. On Wednesday, a prominent horse owner, Ed James, made the following statement. I'm going to quote it to you here. "I am personally annoyed with the Liberals killing racing, so I'm not going to encourage my stock racing in Ontario," end quote. Now, are owners like Ed James moving to the U.S. a problem for OHR? Is this a problem we have to address?
Well, for sure, and I think that's part of the reason why we want to get out in front of people and do a good job of factually explaining where we are, where we think we're heading, what our purse levels in Ontario and racing opportunities look like versus other jurisdictions. This is a competitive industry. It's a global industry. But we think that we're on the road to having Ontario be competitive with any other jurisdiction. And, in fact, right now, with the kind of purse guarantees that we have this year, we measure favorably against most other jurisdictions, and no one argues that there needs to be some growth here. But frankly, I think there's a lot of encouraging signs, and I think the more people in the industry know about that, the better informed buyers will be at the yearling.
I got to interrupt for a minute, John, because you talk about purses being competitive. I see what is going on in the backstretch at Rideau-Carlton Raceway, where purses have been slashed. Horse people are having to race at least one extra day a week in neighboring U.S. Localities just to make ends meet. So, is it really true that the purses are all that competitive?
Yeah, Norm. Look, Ottawa, as you know, is its kind of own ecosystem in the racing world. And I don't think there's anyone who doesn't think that there needs to be some improvement in the purse levels there. I know that's true of the folks at RCR. So there are some ways to do that. We think this is a baseline model this year, and that there need to be some improvements on race opportunities there, and more importantly, purse levels. The overall map of Ontario, if you look at the overall system, it compares fairly favorably side by side with other jurisdictions, other states. If that doesn't mean that we don't have some pockets and some particular kinds of racing that we don't need to support more and better and find better ways of doing. But overall, we compare fairly favorably, and I think our trend line this year and over the next few years is going to be better than it is in other places.
John Snowblin, once again, thanks for being on Trot Radio. Okay, there it is, gang. Once again, the meeting is going to be held on July 24th from 1 to 3 p.m., County Heritage Park, Niagara Room. That's in Milton. It's on the second floor, located at 8560 Tremaine Road. That's it for this edition of Trot Radio, a presentation of Standardbred Canada in cooperation with Board Communications.